One thing we were talking about, and everybody feared about COVID-19, is that it would basically the hospitals would be overrun.
Right.
You know, and it seems that, you know, obviously we're still dealing with some lots of positive cases and stuff, but luckily it seems that a lot of the treatment for COVID-19 has gotten a lot better since it, you know, the early months of it, as we can see what happened in New York and New Jersey. It seems that treatment's got a lot better, so the fatality rates are going down, but still the positive cases are still going up.
Yep.
So it's something that, you know, the hospitals being overrun with patients is still a constant fear with COVID-19, and then you put on top of it the flu.
Yeah.
Because there are some pretty remarkable statistics about the flu hospitalizations each year.
Yeah. And
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back. Greetings. We are here for another one, folks. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at some very nice numbers for the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's right. I know this is always Nick's part, so I'm totally stealing it from him.
Do it.
And we just wanted to say thank you.
Right.
And before we jump into our podcast this week, we really, really just want to encourage people, if you like something you hear today, then please, sharing is caring.
Right.
Send it to a friend, share it with a loved one, and just keep spreading the word about our podcast. And also, let us know what it is that you are digging, because we want to make it better for you. So let us know what you want to hear of.
That's right. We say this each week, but we get new listeners each week, so it bears repeating.
Yes.
Correct?
It does. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So today's topic is going to focus on something I think everybody has been talking about as of late, vaccines.
Yes. And we're not going to go like hardcore pro-vaccine or con-vaccine in general.
Mm-hmm.
Our topic today is a specific vaccine.
That's right. But it's very timely, because this is a vaccine that gets talked about a lot this time of year. And we're talking about the flu vaccine.
Flu shot.
Mm-hmm. That's right, folks. If COVID was enough, flu season is quickly approaching. So
yes,
we are going to discuss why it is so important to get, why getting a flu vaccine this year is probably more important than most.
Yes.
Or previous years, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that like a good, I would say at least 50% of the people that I know, I feel like they are pretty good about going and getting the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll go and they'll get it once a year. You know, I mean, they'll go and they'll do it. I hear like grumblings amongst many of those people that, you know, they don't know if it even works, but it's like better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So, and then there's the other half where it's like, you know, they're a lot wishy-washy. It's just not a priority, or they just don't want to do it.
Right.
So, yeah, this year, however, is a totally different ball game.
We're going to tell you why you should be in the group that, at least, you know, I'd say be in the group that gets the vaccine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're an anti-vacciner, shut this off right now, because we're not here to change your mind.
Yeah.
We are talking to people that actually vaccines.
Get the vaccines, or on the fence about wishy-washy about the flu vaccine.
Yeah, like kind of eh.
Yeah. Before we get into that, let's get into our training recaps for the week. I feel like, I know I felt like I had a pretty good week up until a point, and then, but what about you? How was your week?
I started my week off with a bang. Mm-hmm. I went real hard at the beginning of the week with a 45-minute,
that's right,
like heavy sweat ride. And I haven't done a 45-minute ride in I don't know how long. I can probably look in my app, in my Peloton app, and find out. But, I mean, I can't actually remember the last time that I did a 45-minute ride. So it was a big deal, the fact that I started my week off that way, and I was really glad I did. And I did that, and then I did a bar workout. So for anybody who knows me, I am a Peloton user. I have been for, I was thinking about it today, and I think it's been like 5 years.
Yeah, I was trying to think, because I know we just did a recap, like a old school episode of, from the ball episode.
It's been like 4 or 5 years.
And that was actually our second Peloton review.
Yeah.
So we've definitely had it for a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, we go way back when it was just, when it was like just coming out, when the app only consisted of rides. There was no strength, there was no yoga, there was no meditation, there was no boot camp, and now they've added bar classes, not B-A-R, B-A-R-R-E. So that is the, like, very, it, I would say it's like a low intensity or low impact, high intensity workout, usually in my experience. And this one was just a 30 minute, and it was one of those workouts that really crept up on you because you started it and you're like, oh gosh, maybe I should have picked something harder. You know, like you think maybe this is just not really worth it. Mm-hmm. You get to the end and you're like, oh gosh, like I can barely lift my arms. And you're like, I didn't even use weights, you know. It was just one of those. It's muscle endurance and muscle strength.
Right.
So those things, we do a lot of things in our life that are all about muscle strength if you're training regularly. But muscle endurance, I mean, that's like, I mean, essentially that's like when you're doing your long runs, when you're doing like a repetitive motion or activity for a longer period of time. That's just not something I think a lot of us love doing in general.
Right.
So we tend to not do it very often.
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the bar, they use a lot of isometrics.
It is. It's all isometrics.
And I think that's, having a lot of experience in that and really enjoying that and using it a lot with my clients, isometrics is something that, like you said, it can starts off simple and you think it's relatively easy and you're like, well, I'm not really getting a lot out of this. But depending on the longer you hold the position, the more tension you create, the more you can get out of the workout. And a lot of studies show time under tension for muscles builds more strength.
Yep.
So holding muscles under tension for longer periods of time can are one of the way of building strength, you know, in with endurance.
Yeah. So that was like, that one kicked my butt, so that like my whole upper body, like muscles I forgot I had. And again, I did not use any weight. There was no push-ups. It was just these small movements with no weight that created such a challenge for my body. I hadn't done that for a long time. I was sore. Like the next day I woke up and my body was just like drained. So I ended up taking 2 rest days and then I got back on the bike. Well, my cat destroyed one workout.
Oh, yeah.
She started crying in the middle of it. And then I lost my place in my ride and that was a disaster. So, but then I got back on the bike and I did a good 30 minute at the end of the week.
Oh,
so
nice.
All in all, it was actually a pretty good workout week for me.
Right.
But, yeah.
Good.
How about you?
I think mine started off well, too. I got in a good kettlebell workout. No, it was a bench press. Dumbbell workout, sorry. In the middle, I did one of my every minute on the minute workouts I like to do with chest press, Bulgarian squats, kettlebell swing, bent over rows. Then I got in a Peloton with one of my favorite, Jess King. And then Hose is also one of your favorites, I believe.
She's one of my faves.
Steel mace workout, which I haven't got to work with in a long time. So I got that out. That was actually an outdoor workout I did in the middle of the day, which was nice. And then, another Peloton ride. And that one was, kind of impromptu to a certain extent, even though I had planned on doing the Peloton ride. I woke up that morning and had somewhat of a back strain, an unexpected back spasm, really. and it resulted in some tension in my back, but luckily I was able to get on the bike and still get in a little workout, and luckily the back issues have abated somewhat. Still a little tender, but I think what it was just a severe back spasm, and almost like a really bad Charlie horse, if anybody's had experience with that. So I did some light stretching and tried to minimize any movement with it, and putting any, especially any resistance training involving the back. So I was had 4 workout days this week and was hoping to get another one, but decided to, you know, just rest on Friday, you know, and give my back a little bit of a break. So it's almost there. It's almost back to just like, you know.
Back is our tough, like, back strains and spasms and, yeah,
because it was usual, like I said, it wasn't like a lower back just pinching or like something I've had before, a little bit of a twinge in my lower back. It was like a full-on kind of like back spasm in my upper back, and it kind of held me, kind of like froze me for a while in place, and then finally kind of abated, and then I think it was it left me with some sore muscles. So hopefully it keeps getting better every day, and I can get back to the workout train this coming week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on to the main topic of discussion. We were obviously in our research for the podcast always looking for timely topics, and obviously flu vaccine is something that I think a lot of us have been receiving information about and getting PSAs, if you will, whether it's on social media or through emails. I know we got a little bit of information because Ella went for her 2-year annual essentially checkup at the doctor, and she got her flu vaccine there, and I know I wasn't there for that one, but I don't know, did the doctor mention anything to you about asking if you were getting the flu vaccine? Did you go there or anything like that?
No, not at all. She's just, they asked me, like, do you want to get the flu vaccine while you're here? And I said, yeah. Like, meaning Ella, for Ella. And I knew that her school was going to end up requiring it probably at some point anyway. Right. So I just did it.
Yeah. So
she didn't have any other shots. So
right. And, you know, as I say, the topic of vaccine is in the news a lot lately, obviously, in regards to COVID-19 vaccine. But in my opinion, I feel like the seasonal flu vaccine, especially this year, is definitely just as important. Mm-hmm. Because obviously we have the vaccine right now for the flu. we're still waiting on COVID-19. But we found this great article. I think it was on the website for the University of California at San Francisco. And it's, you know, the medical team there, the medical university or department, put out this article discussing the importance of why the flu vaccine is more important this year than any other year due to COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, really, it's a really great article because it talks about how the one thing we were talking about and that everybody feared about COVID-19 is that it would the hospitals would be overrun.
Right.
You know, and it seems that, you know, obviously we're still dealing with some lots of positive cases and stuff. But luckily, it seems that a lot of the treatment for COVID-19 has gotten a lot better since it, you know, the early months of it, as we can see what happened in New York and New Jersey. It seems that treatment's got a lot better, so the fatality rates are going down, but still the positive cases are still going up.
Yep.
So it's something that, you know, the hospitals being overrun with patients is still a constant fear with COVID-19, and then you put on top of it the flu.
Yeah.
Because there are some pretty remarkable statistics about the flu hospitalizations each year.
Yeah. And I mean, like, just to give some context, because way back before COVID was a thing, before people really knew anything about it, the biggest thing that it was being compared to was the flu. And I mean, you hear it said a lot, you know, you have flu-like symptoms. There's, you know, for a lot of people, that's what they experience. Yeah. And then they started kind of comparing them side by side. Now, there are some, when you talk to like doctors and things about this, I feel like they're a really great group of people to talk to when you kind of need perspective. Because a lot of doctors that I've heard and talked to, like, they're looking at COVID and they're seeing it as another virus. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing it compared to some really atrocious viruses out there in history. Mm-hmm. And I think that even though the death rate with COVID is much higher than anyone wanted to see it, mm-hmm. Basically higher than people feared it could go, the infectiousness of COVID, we have begun to find ways to curb it, mm-hmm. you know, and even though we've all had to take drastic steps to prevent the spread, so far, there was, I think, how many deaths in the United States because of COVID so far?
We're over 200,000.
200,000. Mm-hmm. And
I want to make sure I got that right. Keep going. I'm going to double check that, but keep going.
Do we know, remember how many cases were actually filed?
So the current statistics in the United States for COVID-19. Doing
some fast searching. Mm-hmm,
it's nearly 8 million positive cases in the United States.
Okay.
Probably 7.9.
There's quite a lot out there that were not even tested.
7.99 million. And then the deaths are 219,000.
So there's your current where we are in October of 2020. Mm-hmm. In a typical bad flu season, which is just from December to February, that's 3 months. 3 months, folks. 40 to 50 million Americans can catch the flu. And up to 800,000 require hospitalization. So this gives you a basis for why at the beginning of this and ongoing, as we talk about like second waves of COVID, why the medical community was so concerned about hospitals being overrun. Mm-hmm. Because in 3 months during flu season, a bad flu season can put far off of a million people in the hospital.
Yeah.
And again, these are, you know, the test, like looking at how many people get tested versus how many people have it. The flu is a significant threat. It does not, thankfully, have as high of a death rate. From the 2018 to 2019 flu season, they looked at it and there were just shy of 500,000 flu hospitalizations. Mm-hmm. And there was just a little over 34,000 flu deaths. So in terms of COVID, when this was done, it was a little under 400,000 hospitalizations. I can say that word. Mm-hmm. And this was when we were still like right around 181,000 deaths.
September 7th.
So the death rate, you can see it is very, very different.
Yes.
But the hospitalization rate, mm-hmm. is the thing that we're really trying to hone in here, because the flu shot doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. Like, actually, the shoe.
I thought you were going to say the shoes. You ain't going to get a
But the vaccine is meant to make it more mild and allow you to battle it off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
like I said, lessens the symptoms and hopefully lessens the duration.
So it is the hospitalizations number that is super critical to keep low, mm-hmm. this year of all the years.
Right.
Because, we don't have a vaccine for COVID yet. Just a reminder.
Yep.
In case anybody's curious. And the news hasn't just beaten you senseless that fact. There's also still no real effective treatment. So the hospitalizations really need to be left for COVID. And we really need to minimize additional ones that will come from the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think what when we were talking about it, what we were saying, the flu is the enemy you know.
Right. And they say that in this article, too. It's like, it's, and honestly, you think about it, it's COVID-19 may be very similar to seasonal flu 10 years from now. Because it's every year, scientists and medical professionals get more and more information on how to treat certain diseases. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true with any diseases, and especially with viruses. That's why we actually have a seasonal vaccine every year for the flu, you know, because they've come up with this as a viable treatment for it. You know, as since we know the flu vaccine, we know we can what kind of the preventative methods are for. But still, even with that said, like you said, it can still get up to anywhere from, you know, 500,000 to close to 1 million of hospitalizations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 800,000 in a really bad mm-hmm. season. So it's something that you've got to... We've always talked about in the last, I think, 8 months about, you know, talking about wearing masks and keeping social distance and washing your hands diligently. I mean, those are things that you can do in order yeah. to help prevent yourself from getting COVID, or if you're asymptomatic, try to spread it, or, you know, unknowingly spread it to somebody else. I feel like the flu vaccine is right on par with something you can do to help minimize right. COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because, or the damage caused by COVID-19, because like I said, if you get the flu and go in the hospital, you're taking a bed from somebody who's had COVID-19, which is a lot less, we have a lot less knowledge about. Lethal. Yes, exactly. The fatality rate right now for COVID-19 is, 1% overall right now, which people think, oh, that doesn't sound like a lot. But think about the flu vaccine is 0.1%. Right now, that according to this article.
Yeah.
So it's something in 1%, and that's probably just a rounded number, an average of yeah. all the death rates. I mean, it's probably a lot higher in some other places. But that is a high number when it comes to vaccine or to viruses. So yeah, you doing your part, vaccine is another part, not a component of us doing our part to minimize the damage of COVID-19, in my yeah. opinion.
And, I mean, as far as studies go, it looks to be, based off of the data that continues to roll in, that children are a little less susceptible to COVID-19, whereas they are very susceptible to flu.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that schools require it. Mm-hmm. There's a reason your pediatricians highly recommend it.
Right.
And, I mean, the flu can wipe out classrooms of kids. Right. I mean, we've had it run through our house
right.
at least once. It's not fun, but they're the ones. It's the children, of course, like the elderly yep. and the immune compromised.
Right.
Again, but just think about again the hospital beds you can save
mm-hmm.
if you. You know, decrease the severity or avoid right. getting it all together. So yeah. it is one of those things. We've heard a lot of people talk about that fact about overwhelming the hospitals. They also mentioned in this article mm-hmm. how testing could be severely strained for yeah. the flu this year because, it's the same as COVID. I don't yeah. know if anybody's had the COVID test. Compare that to the last flu test you've yeah. ever witnessed or had.
Yep.
It's the same test. So all of those labs are going to be much more focused on COVID
right.
than they are flu.
Yeah.
So instead of further taxing the system, let's all try to not, to like not have to go in and get the test.
Right.
Also, now this is just terrifying. I mean, this is the stuff of horror movies. It's almost Halloween, folks. Here's your scariest mm-hmm. reality. You could get both of these little bastards at the same time. That is actually something that can happen. And yeah, I don't think we want to really imagine what getting one on top of the other is like, But here's the reality. Even if you don't get them on top of each other, you could get knocked down with the flu and become a lot more susceptible to COVID, or vice versa. Yeah. And if one is not going to knock you down hard, the other one might. So again, why would you want to risk that? It's definitely, again, like you said at the beginning of the episode, if you can do something in a world where we all feel completely helpless and ineffective in stopping this, you know, rampaging invisible monster, you can do things that can help the situation.
Right. Yep.
Not just for yourself, but for other people too.
Yep. And just for a quick stat to kind of, I guess, nail, or, you know, kind of drive the point home about the importance of the vaccine. 2018-2019 flu season, which was some of the numbers Shannon gave earlier about, you know, over almost a half a million hospitalizations. There was 49% of Americans received a flu vaccine, averting an estimated 4.4 million illnesses, 58,000 hospitalizations, and 3,500 deaths, according to the CDC.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about something as simple as getting the vaccine can avert those numbers, and that's in 1 year.
Yep.
And think about how important that is this year now with all the stuff we just talked about the importance of saving room for, a hospital room for COVID victims, but even, or COVID, you know, people who contract COVID, but even ICU. Car accidents or heart attacks. That's something we have to focus in too, you know? So wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, one thing we wanted to talk about was the reason that this is so timely is because we are heading into this flu season, but also the doctors recommend that you get your flu shot in late September. Or early October. Hey now. In order to ensure that you have time, usually it takes about 2 weeks to develop an immune response before there is widespread transmission of the flu. So, I mean, if you get your flu vaccine now, it's going to take you through the flu season. It provides you protection throughout the season, but it's not freaking magic. You can't go and get it in the middle of December and expect, you know, you're going to be immune from this. Like, it does matter when you get it.
Right.
So the doctors are saying, please go get it now, by all means.
Right.
So it's just something that's why we wanted to say it. Again, we're not here to change anybody's mind if you are not a, if you are an anti-vacciner. But
you probably stopped listening already.
I know. Hopefully you listened earlier when we said just shut it off. Zip it up. But this is definitely, this is something you can do. You can make an impact.
So I know there's a big campaign out a lot now called about vote early. You know, with the whole, some election.
No, we're getting political. Well, we're getting political.
No.
No, I know where you're going.
I'm changing it. Vaccine early.
Yeah.
Get your shot early, folks. I'm changing. I feel the flu shot early is way more important than voting early, in my opinion, guys.
Wow. Wow. Please do not attack him because I'm pretty sure he already has his ballot.
Yeah.
So.
I'm getting both early. That's a perfect transition, yeah, guys.
Both early.
Transition right into what's got us pumped.
Do, 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 do.
You want to know
why? We really need music.
Because who got his flu shot already?
This guy. What you're digging?
This guy. What's got me
you
pumped? That I got my flu shot already. That's got me pumped, folks. I already got my flu shot.
Toot, toot.
But not only did I get my flu shot, but I got paid to get my flu shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, getting your flu shot alone is not exactly something I was expecting to put in your what's got me pumped.
But, so, we
But getting
here,
money?
Yes. So, here in Florida, there's a great, I think it's only in Florida. Maybe they got into Georgia. I don't know. Publix? I think. Great grocery store, Publix grocery store chain called Publix. And they are, a lot of them are now having pharmacies inside their grocery stores. And the one next to my gym had one recently, and or installed one, or you know, added one to their grocery store, and they were giving out flu vaccines. And actually last year I got the same thing, got the flu vaccine, and anybody gets a flu vaccine, they give a $10 gift card. So you can use it in the store. And that's a big thing, because Publix, it's good, but it's kind of pricey.
It's not the cheapest.
Not the cheapest, folks.
You pay for those smiley, friendly mm-hmm. staff faces.
So, and it was nice because...
And wide aisles.
My flu vaccine was covered by my health insurance. And then I got a $10 gift card. So, win.
Bing,
win.
Bing.
Not only am I preventing myself from a chance of getting the flu and or taking up a hospital bed, I am also getting a $10 gift card to spend on some delicious items.
So I've taken it a step further for everybody because, again, sharing is caring, folks. Mm-hmm. I care. Mm-hmm. And I found an article that rounded up, if you're not in Florida, don't you worry, we got you. Because there are other major retailers, thank goodness, that have partnered to do these kinds of things around the country. Your best thing is going to be to look at like your area specifically, but we have four major retailers mm-hmm. from various places around the country that are doing some sort of a, I will pay you to get a flu shot. So Target. Hey. So you can go Never to Target. One. Yeah. What's also known Target. As Target. You can go inside any CVS pharmacy, Long's Drugs, or Minute Clinic that's based in a Target store and get a $5 coupon good for your next Target purchase. That deal is available until the end of October or while supplies last. And they have a number of like specific locations that they are pushing. Mm-hmm. Also CVS Pharmacy. Hey, CVS Pharmacy. I actually, not CVS Pharmacy, but a portion of CVS. I have a good friend who works for them. And I will always be loyal to her, mm-hmm. but they, CVS is doing, get a flu shot at CVS or Long's Drugs, who I guess they own. And you get a coupon good for $5 off your next purchase of $20. So that's not too shabby.
I have gotten one of those in
CVS. You did that? I feel like you did that last year.
Maybe that was last year.
I'm pretty sure you did the last.
I didn't go to Publix.
2 years.
I'm just getting flu shots. Just getting them willy-nilly.
You're just running around. Yeah. Tag team.
I'm not doing that, folks.
No. So that is also only good until October 31st or while mm-hmm. supplies last. And then, again, they've got tons of them across the state. Boom. Publix. Boom. There we go. Uh-huh. several stores in several states and several stores. Several states in the Southeast.
A lot of
and they are not even giving you a time limit, but they are saying it's good for a quote-unquote limited time. Mm-hmm. So basically, you snooze, you lose on these. And then finally, the other giant mm-hmm. pharmacy, Walgreens. Ooh, who we just missed. They only did it through part of September.
Womp womp.
So sorry about that, Walgreens, you missed. But yes, so there's three retailers that you can get your shots at, and also you can just Google it, pop it in, just play, like type in where can I go where they pay me for the flu shot. Mm-hmm. It'll pop up. You'll find some nice results for you, hopefully. Nice. And if not, just look for places where they're making it fast, easy, and as pain-free as possible mm-hmm. as it is to have a flu shot.
Right.
Pretty sure it feels like getting punched in the arm, right?
It was, yeah, but hey,
usually
it's worth it.
Totally worth it.
No pain, no gain.
What about you? Totally worth it.
What's got you pumped?
Well, mine is like totally opposite end of the spectrum.
I know, but that's okay.
And it's not even new. It's something I've had, but I like rediscovered recently, which mm-hmm. I feel like are the best things to get you pumped because you didn't have to do anything to get it. It's been there the whole time. My item is a cookbook. Did you see that coming?
Maybe.
Did our listeners see that coming?
No, they didn't. I did because I'm sitting here
looking,
looking at it. Yes.
So I've had this cookbook. This is probably one of my first cookbooks that I like purchased. It's called Gather, the Art of Paleo Entertaining. And it is by Haley Mason and Bill Staley. Yeah. I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. They were the authors prior to this book of Make It Paleo, which was like, I think, their bestseller that they launched, I mean, way back. Mm-hmm. That one's a little bit dated now. But The Art of Paleo Entertaining came out, yeah, it's going to date me, in 2012. Mm-hmm. But they actually had a blog, and Primal Palette is their website. So they were very legitimate, still are. They've got products. They've got additional cookbooks nowadays. But this book, it's specifically on, like, food to entertain with. So it's not just recipes, like quick, you know, like a lot of them are quick, but mm-hmm. it's not so much about just a variety of recipes, but these are like entertainment quality recipes. And they really are amazing. They have these almond cookies. Now, mind you, paleo is dairy-free, gluten-free, refined sugar, usually free. Mm-hmm. They do use maple syrup, but that is perfect for a maple syrup freak like me.
Right.
And they were the ones that made me realize you could bake and still have like a good food, like a food that's not going to harm you and make you feel like crap. Mm-hmm. They were really the first ones that taught me that. And I've made 3 of their recipes this weekend. And it reminded me of just how great and versatile this book is, and how even if you're not paleo, you can still have some fantastic paleo recipes. You can help, you know, if you've got paleo people coming for the holidays, this is a good book to grab because it will give you just beautiful, amazing recipes that will wow your guests. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to make them go, oh, God, you gave me the healthy food. You know, like, this is, I've made the almond cookies for people, and they're like, oh, damn. Mm-hmm. I mean, just good. As a treat. They're so mm-hmm. good. And today I made the poached pears, and they're spiced pecans on a salad, and it was amazing.
It was delightful.
It was very good. Ella ate all of the pears, basically. And I also made some scones from them this weekend, and everybody but Ella was a huge fan. Ella's a tough audience. Sometimes you hit it with her and sometimes you don't. So this was just, I think this is such a good cookbook altogether. Like, I don't even want to advocate for it as a paleo book, but it's just a really wonderful, beautifully photographed as well. Well done cookbook. So if you'd like to give it a little peruse, you can look it up. It's called Gather, the Art of Paleo Entertaining. And just, there's a few other Gather cookbooks out there. So just make sure it's the Art of Paleo Entertaining.
There we go. Excellent.
Yes.
Man, really, I would say great episode tonight. Informative, some great stats. Great message. I think something we can all agree on, and something that we get a bunch of information, which is very resourceful.
Whoa. There's a lot of hand gestures happening in my face right now.
I don't know why. I got verklempt for a second there. I'm so passionate about this. I say, hope you enjoyed tonight's episode, guys. Hope you got some value out of it. If it inspires you to learn more about the flu vaccine, if you were on the fence and you want to learn more about it, it's safety and everything like that, even that's a great place to start. You know, talk to a medical professional, get some more info from them. So yeah, hopefully just don't take it from us. Maybe just let
hopefully
us
we just
be
like
the,
whet your appetite.
Exactly. Let us inspire
interest.
You to go find out more information from your primary care physician or a medical professional.
Yes.
Because I feel like they'll tell you the same thing we did. But anyways, that's it.
I'm going to get hit with a finger here.
Yeah, I know. I'm
gesturing. There's a lot of gesticulation happening.
Well, it's about to end right now. You got anything else for him tonight?
No, I'm good.
This has been another edition of the Addiction Fitness Podcast, and I'll check you next time. Or we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.